his back teeth was false. That had come with the broken nose. His hair was naturally dark, and he had a lot of it. But Roby preferred to keep it about a half inch longer than a marine buzz cut. His facial features were sharply defined, but he made them mostly forgettable by almost never making eye contact with anyone. He had tats on one arm and also on his back. One tattoo was of a large tooth from a great white. The other was a red slash that looked like lightning on fire. They effectively covered up old scars that had never healed properly. Roby was 39 years old and would turn 40 the following day. He had not come to Scotland to celebrate this personal milestone. He had come here to work. He checked his watch. A full 8 hours to go. Hours later, his internal clock woke him. He left his room and walked up toward Prince's Street. He passed the majestic Balmoral Hotel that anchored the city center. He ordered a light meal and had tap water to drink, ignoring the large selection of stouts offered on the board over the bar. After his meal, he walked toward Edinburgh Castle. He could see it in the distance as he ambled along. It was big, imposing, and had never once been taken by force, only stealth. 3 hours to go. He waited out a sudden chilly rain shower under a cafe awning and drank a cup of coffee. Later he passed a sign for the ghost tour of underground Edinburgh, adults only, and only conducted after full darkness had set in. It was almost time. Roby had memorized every step, every turn, every move he would have to make. A bit later, he passed a man who nodded at him. It was just a slight dip of the head, nothing more. Then the man was gone, and Roby turned down the doorway the man had vacated. He shut and locked it behind him and moved forward, quickening his pace. His shoes were rubber-soled. They made no sound on the stone floor. 600 feet in, he saw the door on the right side. He took it. An old monk's cloak was hung on a peg. He donned it and put the hood up. There were other things there for him. Gloves, night vision goggles, a recorder, a Glock pistol with suppressor can attached, and a knife. He opened another door and passed through it. He moved downward, reached a grate in the floor, lifted it, and skittered down a set of iron handrails set into the stone. He was in underground Edinburgh now, home to several ghost and walking tours. There were the vaults under South Bridge, and parts of old Edinburgh such as Mary King's Close, among others. It was part of local lore that when the plague came in the 1600s, it struck impoverished areas of the city, such as Mary King's Close, especially hard. And in response, the city walled up folks here forever to prevent the spread of the disease. He checked his watch. 10 minutes to go. He heard them before he saw them. There were five, not counting the guide, the man, and the peripherals. They would be armed. They would be ready. Roby rounded one final bend. He heard the guide talking, giving the memorized spiel, and delivering it in a mysterious, ghost-like voice. There was a right-angle turn coming up. The tour was heading for it. So was Roby, just from the opposite way. The timing was so tight that there was no margin of error. Roby counted the paces. He knew the guide was doing the same. They had even practiced the length of their strides to get them perfectly choreographed. 7 seconds later, the guide, who was the same height and build as Roby, and wearing a cloak identical to his, came around the bend, a mere 5 paces ahead of his party. He held a flashlight. That was the one thing Roby could not duplicate. Both of his hands had to be free for obvious reasons. The guide turned left and disappeared into a cleft cut into the rock that led into another room with another exit. As soon as he saw this, Roby pivoted, putting his back to the group of men who would round the corner a few moments later. One hand slipped down to the recorder on his belt under the cloak